Good afternoon, 4:30 and 87 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
I think last year we estimated that we saved about $100,000 in fuel costs by the fuel prices being down.
Rowan County School Superintendent Marvin Moore says lower fuel costs have helped the district's bottom line.
FEMA has been asked to do assessments for storm damage in 23 Kentucky counties.
And Moorhead State University's new parking garage will be available Monday.
In sports, a Reds victory over St. Louis tonight would give them six straight series wins since the All-Star break.
But Luke has the business news.
It'll be partly cloudy tonight with lows near 70. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Kentucky is asking the Federal Emergency Management Agency for joint preliminary damage assessments for public assistance in 23 counties affected by storms in early July. Those counties include Lawrence and Clay. The State Division of Emergency Management says it has requested that FEMA send personnel to Kentucky to begin assessments with the state agencies and others to survey damages and review storm-related expense documentation.
The woman found unresponsive from an apparent drug overdose at the Park and Ride lot near the Orangeburg Fire Station Monday was 25-year-old Amanda Hill Borgman. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports she was pronounced dead at Meadowview Regional Medical Center. Her body was positively identified by relatives. Borgman was a resident of Augusta and was found in a car shortly before 5 p.m. Bracken County Sheriff's deputies had arrested Borgman in November 2014 on heroin trafficking charges. Mason County deputies are investigating her death.
WSAZ is reporting that five people have been arrested in Flatwoods on charges of manufacturing methamphetamine. Flatwoods police say the bust happened at an apartment building off Farm Hill Road. In custody are Nathan and Andrew Gillum, both 19 years old, from Greenup, 28-year-old Jennifer Kraft and 38-year-old Kenneth McGuire, both of Flatwoods, and 28-year-old Gene Dowdy of Grayson. They were all taken to the Greenup County Detention Center.
The war of words continues between Republican Governor Matt Bevin and Democratic Attorney General Andy Beshear over the status of the University of Louisville Board of Trustees. Josh James has more.
Bevin and Beshear are currently battling it out in court over the governor's recent executive orders abolishing the former UofL Board of Trustees, which Bevin described as dysfunctional, and creating a new one. Now Bevin is calling on the top law enforcement official to publicly state whether the old board, made up of 13 Democrats, one Republican, and one independent, meets state proportional representation requirements. In a media release Tuesday, the governor said the former board did not, quote, even come close to complying with the law, end quote. Beshear, on the other hand, has referred to the previous incarnation as the rightful board, arguing the former members boasted far more administrative experience than the new appointees.
When you're talking about important decisions like budget decisions, they have the background. They can make the type of decision that a new board, none of which have had, you know, more than a week's worth of service, would be able to make.
But Bevin says because of Beshear's lawsuit, the old, illegally constituted board is being encouraged to believe that it should meet and conduct business on behalf of the university. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
School officials and other community leaders participated Tuesday in a ribbon cutting for Magoffin County's new $29 million high school. The building was constructed after the old high school was destroyed in the 2012 tornado. School Superintendent Scott Helton tells WYMT it's a proud day for the district.
We're going to have an opportunity to open up a building that will afford our children a great opportunity for an education that we've not had in the past.
Magoffin's new high school can't accommodate 700 students. The new academic year begins August 11th in the Magoffin district.
The continued slide in fuel prices has been good for the Rowan County school system. Superintendent Marvin Moore says lower gas and diesel costs saved the district about $100,000 last year and should save it about that same amount this year.
The SEEK allocation, we were down about $215,000 this year, and because our overall numbers are down just a little bit, and when fuel prices are down and we've been able to keep the our budget intact, and that helps our budget some, and we look for every way we can to cut and save.
SEEK is the basic formula used by the state, to fund its public schools. The current national average price for a gallon of gas is $2.12 a gallon, which is over 50 cents less than it was a year ago. The cost of diesel is $2.31 a gallon. That's compared to $2.73 last summer.
Much of Morehead State University's new $17.6 million parking garage and dining hall complex is ready to open. Assistant Vice President for Facilities Management at MSU is Rick Linio. He says 295 of the garage's parking places will be available for use as of Monday. He notes the other 90 are located under the new dining hall, which is still months away from completion.
We're looking at least another year from now. We're going through design now, finishing that up, and hope to get the bids out by November and start construction. All of its interior, so we'll start construction in December and hopefully be finished by opening of school next year.
As Linio noted, the exterior of the dining hall has been finished and the remaining construction will be on the facility's interior.
The University of Kentucky Chandler Hospital is showing off its latest designation, a number one ranking in the state by U.S. News and World Report. Bo Cofield, Vice President for UK Healthcare, says the rating is evidence that the school's investments are paying off and credits the entire organization with propelling the hospital ahead of its competitors.
It is, sort of external recognition of the great work that our people do each and every day. And it's not just our doctors and nurses. It's the folks who are greeting patients at the front door. It's the folks who are driving our shuttle buses. It's the folks who are emptying our trash cans and serving food. It's everybody.
UK Healthcare has grown significantly in recent years, with hospital discharges up by 88% between 2004 and 2015. According to U.S. News, the hospital also ranked as high-performing in six adult specialties: cancer, diabetes, nephrology, neurology, orthopedics, and pulmonology. Rounding out the top five in the overall rankings were Baptist Health Louisville, Baptist Health Lexington, St. Elizabeth Healthcare Edgewood Covington Hospitals, and Norton Hospital in Louisville.
There will be heightened security at this weekend's Fancy Farm Picnic in Graves County. That's where thousands of people will gather to hear political stump speeches from statewide candidates and office holders. Mark Wilson is the organizer of this year's event.
We feel pretty confident about it down here. So the law enforcement, they're geared up, so we're pretty confident everything will be handled fine from a security standpoint.
Republican Senator Rand Paul and his challenger, Democrat Jim Gray, are expected to draw the most attention.
Democrats in the Ohio legislature today rolled out a bill they say would protect call center jobs from moving overseas. Senate Minority Leader Joe Schiavone introduced the proposal at a press conference. He says the measure requires companies that run call centers to give notice of 120 days before they move jobs out of the country.
So they just can't pick up tomorrow and go. So that's the first piece of it. The second piece of it is they would have to pay back state incentives that they received if they relocated, and they would not be eligible for further incentives if they move those jobs overseas.
Schiavone says there are provisions in the bill that would make exceptions for companies that moved employment out of the U.S. to again qualify for tax incentives on future projects. However, he says they would have to meet certain conditions.
While Morehead State University's old Sunnybrook Golf Course has been the focal point in recent years of discussions on where to build a new recreation park in Rowan County, that situation seems to have changed. Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent says city and county officials are now considering other possible locations, with Sunnybrook being placed on the back burner.
It's always going to be on there as an option. but we want to add other options to that. We want to make sure that we're, if when and if we have to spend money and to build a facility or to upgrade what we already have, we want to make sure that it's we're going to get the most for the money, and it's what the community wants.
The Moorhead-Rowan County Recreation Committee is currently surveying local residents to gather their ideas for potential new recreation programs and facilities. Those questionnaires must be returned Friday. Their results will be announced in October.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet's Director of Maintenance says repair crews try to address 50 to 60 structurally deficient bridges every year. John Wilcoxon says there are 579 on state routes throughout Kentucky.
That does not include structurally deficient bridges on county roads. Now, I want to stress that structurally deficient doesn't mean dangerous. It means that the deck or the substructure or the superstructure of the bridge has been rated at a 4 or less on a scale of 1 to 9.
Wilcoxon says the KTC is generally able to remove about 10 bridges from that list each year. Two bridges in Lewis County are considered structurally deficient: Brown's Run Road over Cabin Creek and Kentucky 344 over Grassy Branch. The Greenlawn Road Bridge over Town Branch had been closed since 2014 because it was considered in danger of imminent failure.
Kentucky should have a lot more bicycle paths along abandoned rail lines. That's according to State Representative Jerry Miller. The Louisville Republican says cycling is gaining in popularity, and the Commonwealth is lagging behind other states in responding to the need.
One thing we don't have enough in this state is rail trails. You look at some, like Ohio and others, considering the number of abandoned rail beds we have, and that's just perfect because it's a maximum 4% grade typically, and it's very, very bike friendly, and of course it takes them off of roads.
Miller says adding bicycle trails in Kentucky would serve a dual purpose. He says it would promote healthier lifestyles and tourism.
Kentucky 772 in Morgan County will be closed tomorrow as crews install a water line beneath the road. Kentucky Transportation Cabinet spokesman H.B. Elkins says the highway will be closed between its intersections with Kentucky 705 and Kentucky 985.
A water line is being installed there across the road, and they're going to have to dig up the road to install the water line and the casing for it. So the road's going to be closed starting at 8:30 tomorrow. We're not exactly sure how long the waterline installation will take.
But Elkin says, weather permitting, the work should not continue into Friday. During tomorrow's closure of Kentucky 772, motorists can use U.S. 460, Kentucky 7, and Kentucky 519 as an alternate route.
An event for women who own small businesses will be held tomorrow in Prestonsburg. Southeast Kentucky Link, a free networking event for women, will host its sixth annual meeting Thursday night at the Floyd County Cooperative Extension Office. Those hours will be from 6 to 8. Amanda Kelly is a small business training specialist for the Link. She says the program has been successful.
We've done 5 meetings in Moorhead, and we've had a good turnout, and we've done everything. So we've tried to make it as informative as possible and create an environment where folks are comfortable to ask the questions to get the answers that they need to increase their business.
Kelly says the event is free and hopes women who want to start a business will attend.
An opening ceremony for Maysville's new dog park will take place tomorrow, honoring 2 local legends. The so-called Bark Park now sits inside the 67-acre Maysville-Mason County Recreation Park, which will be naming one of its ball fields after Woodson T. Wood, an official who made the park's construction possible. The ceremony will also name a shelter in honor of former park manager Palmer Smart. City Manager Matt Wallingford credits the members of Maysville's Recreation Park Committee for making the Bark Park happen.
Basically what we did is we utilized the space where we had more or less a croquet course, and it wasn't being used, so our rec park supervisor, Jim Titchener, came up with the idea, more or less, let's use it as a Bark Park.
Wallingford says dogs and people are welcome to the Bark Park's grand opening. It takes place tomorrow at 10 a.m. Turning to take a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region tonight, partly cloudy skies, a 20% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms. We'll see areas of valley fog and lows around 68 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be partly sunny. That valley fog will stick around for the first part of the day. Throughout the day, a 40% chance of rain and highs around 85. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms possible with lows in the around 72. On Friday, at the end of the week, partly sunny, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. We'll see highs in the upper 80s. It's currently sitting at 86 degrees in Ashland. It's also 86 in Flemingsburg and Inez right now. It's 88 in Lexington, 92 in Winchester, and 87 degrees here in Moorhead.
4:45, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. A West Virginia company recently dumped nearly 50 containers of low-level radioactive fracking waste into a Kentucky landfill amid regulatory confusion and questionable business practices. Dan Hyman has more.
Behind the low-level radioactive waste dumped in a Kentucky landfill are regulatory loopholes and questionable business practices, according to state and local documents. Tom Fitzgerald with the Kentucky Resources Council obtained correspondence between Kentucky and West Virginia officials and says it shows regulators didn't coordinate. In the confusion, he says several firms run by the same person dumped technologically enhanced, naturally occurring radioactive materials from West Virginia and Ohio fracking operations into the Estill County landfill. One company, Advanced Tenom Services, came to light first.
The landfill records in Estill County, which showed a couple of other companies had shipped Tenom waste, one being Nuvera, I believe, and another being Cambrian Services.
According to state filings, Corey Hoskins operates Advanced Tenom Services out of the West Liberty, Kentucky Public Library. Landfill records show him as the head of Cambrian Well Services and Nuvera, both based in Norwich, Ohio. Hoskins has not returned numerous calls and messages. West Virginia lawmaker and congressional candidate Mike Manypenny says dust from Tenom can lodge in the lungs and cause cancer. He worked in the legislature to keep hot frack waste from creating problems in West Virginia landfills. He says West Virginia isn't coordinating the frack waste disposal with the Federal Nuclear Regulatory Commission, let alone other states.
We need to have a cradle-to-grave monitoring system to make sure that we know where the material has come from and where it ends up when it's disposed of.
The view from Kentucky is similar, says Fitzgerald.
Everyone seems to be mostly concerned about what's going on in their own state rather than assuring that wherever these wastes are going, that they're going to a place that is properly operated and managed.
State officials in Kentucky have decided to pursue civil but not criminal charges, and they say the waste is safer where it is rather than being dug up again. For the West Virginia News Service, I'm Dan Hyman.
4:48, all things considered, at 5 o'clock, and Sean has sports right after we take this timeout.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
Seeking six straight since the break. Good afternoon. This is MSPR's Sports Report. I'm Sean Delaney. The Cincinnati Reds will try to win Game 2 of their series with St. Louis tonight as they host the Cardinals at 7:10. The Reds won 7-5 last night on Scott Schebler's three-run homer in the bottom of the ninth. He'd just been recalled from AAA Louisville to replace Jay Bruce on Cincinnati's roster. After acquiring Schebler from the Dodgers last winter, the Reds sent him to the minors in May after he struggled at the plate. The outfielder says he's much more relaxed than he was earlier this season.
Yeah, it was one of those deals that you come over and you're trying to impress everybody. So now that I've gone down there and had success, I think that, not really open eyes, but just more comfortable in my own skin now that I don't feel like I have to impress everybody.
0-5 rookie Cody Reed pitches tonight for the Reds. The Cards will go with 6-7 Michael Wacha. There are a few MLB afternoon games today. At last check, the Brewers are at the Padres. Padres are up 4-0 in the third. The Nationals are at the Diamondbacks. They are up 1-0 in the fifth. Marlins are at the Cubs. Marlins are up 4-1 in the eighth. The Cincinnati Bengals have re-signed H-back Ryan Hewitt to a three-year contract extension. Originally an undrafted tight end from Stanford, Hewitt's going into his third season with the Bengals. And the hard-nosed player is happy that he'll be remaining in Cincinnati.
Yeah, you know, and I'm thankful to be a part of this team, you know, and it's nice being at a place where, you know, they use kind of my skill set, and, you know, I feel wanted around here, so it's nice.
An integral part of the Bengals' rushing attack as a blocker, Hewitt has 18 career receptions. More drama for L.A. Rams running back Trey Mason. With more, here's MSPR's Greg Jenkins.
According to ESPN, the 21-year-old's mother called police to her house in late July because Mason was acting unusual and making irrational statements. In the Palm Beach County Police report, officers say Mason was acting erratic, telling them he was going to call the White House and we were all going to lose our jobs, and that the police were responsible for teaching Al-Qaeda how to fly planes. Police say Mason has been submitted for evaluation. On Tuesday, officials with the Rams admitted that they have not been able to contact Mason all summer. Mason was arrested in early March for reckless driving, possession of marijuana, and resisting arrest. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The Dallas Cowboys are on the lookout for another quarterback. According to CBS Sports, Cowboys backup QB Kellen Moore suffered a season-ending ankle break yesterday in practice, and rumors are circulating in Dallas that former Brown Johnny Manziel may be his replacement. Jerry Jones previously expressed great interest in the Heisman Trophy winner prior to last year's draft. Manziel told members of the paparazzi last week that the Cowboys are his first pick. Also in the running for the spot is former Rams QB Nick Foles, although Jones recently stated that he wasn't interested in Foles. The Morehead State football team's preseason training camp begins tomorrow. The freshmen will be the first group to report to Jane Stadium, and Coach Rob Tenier says they need to understand they're in for some long days.
It's a grind, and a lot of introductory-type stuff, player manuals, rules, expectations, those type of things. But there's a lot of football involved in that as well. So, you know, it's an exciting time of year. I think everyone's excited to be back, and it's always a lot of fun.
MSU's veterans will report for duty on Friday. The Eagles' first game is September 3rd at James Madison. Things are humming along at the Round County football team's preseason practices. First-year coach Gene Peterson is pleased with how things have gone in recent days.
You know, we've had to cut back a little bit because of the heat last week. You know, we've been doing a lot of conditioning, but also doing a whole lot of getting our offense in and just doing a whole lot of drill work. And now this week, you know, we can go full pads, and so we'll be getting in some contact this week and just getting ready for the upcoming season.
The Vikings will scrimmage Russell a week from this Saturday in the EKC Gridorama at Raceland High School. They kick off the regular season the following Friday at Clay County. And finally, this afternoon, preseason workouts for the Morehead State soccer team are getting going today. Coach Warren Lipka says, as usual, the first thing he wants to do is test the Eagles' fitness as they return to campus from their summer break.
See where we're at physically and where are we going to go from there. You know, hopefully people did their work over the summer. We had, workouts throughout the summer here on campus, so people that were able to come in were able to get here and do a few days a week. You know, it's not the end-all, do-all, but it gives us a good jump. Once we get started, we get some positive results.
The Soccer Eagles have an exhibition match at Louisville a week from Saturday. They return only two seniors from a 2015 team that went 9-11-2. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State football season tickets are now available with 6 home games on the schedule, including Campbell, Marist, Jacksonville, and the Virginia Military Institute at 6 p.m. Saturday, September 10th. Tickets from the MSU Athletic Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed slightly higher amid a sharp rebound in oil prices and the Dow itself snapped a seven-day losing streak. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 41.23 at 18,355. The broader market was actually a bit stronger. The S&P 500 was up 6.76 at 2163.79, and the NASDAQ Composite finished with a gain of 22 at 5159.74. Crude prices were broadly higher, a nice rebound for the crude sector, with U.S. oil settling 3.3% higher at $40.83 a barrel after the Energy Information Administration said oil inventories rose 1.4 million barrels last week, which was less than expected. The EIA also said the number of gasoline barrels fell, actually, in the latest week, and West Texas Intermediate, of course, settled below $40 for the first time since April in yesterday's trading. Wall Street also digested U.S. employment data as the ADP private payrolls report came in better than expected, and of course the all-important governmental payroll report comes out on Friday. On the earnings front, several companies posted quarterly results before the bell, including Time Warner, which beat expectations on the bottom line. Time Warner shares were up more than 2.5% in afternoon trading. Companies scheduled to report quarterly results after the bell include Tesla Motors, Marathon Oil, and Herbalife. In terms of your best performers on the S&P 500, Chesapeake Energy finished with a gain of 8%, and Newfield Exploration was up 7.5%. On the flip side, your worst performers in the S&P 500 were Corvo, which was down 10.3%, and Verisk Analytics, which finished with a loss of 5.1%, and Fiserv, which was down 4.5%. Among Dow stocks, your worst performers, or I should say your best performers, were J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs, which were up about 1.5%, and Apple, which was up 1.3%. And your worst performers among your Dow stocks were Pfizer and Merck, Pfizer finishing down 2.2%, and Merck, which was down 1.2%. In terms of local stocks, Ashland Incorporated finished with a gain of 12 cents at $113.79. Marathon Petroleum was very strong today, finishing with a gain of $2.45 at $41.24. Marathon Oil, right before reporting earnings, finished up 51 cents at $13.41. And Community Trust Bank was up, or I should say up 14 cents at $34.82 a share. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Turning once more to look at the weather forecast. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, a 20% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms, areas of valley fog developing late, and lows around 68 degrees. Tomorrow, we'll see that valley fog sticking around in the morning and partly sunny during the day, a 40% chance of rain and highs in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms with lows around 72. On Friday, at the end of the week, it'll be partly sunny, a 40% chance of rain and highs in the upper 80s. That night, partly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms and lows around 72. On Saturday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-80s. On Saturday night, partly cloudy, a 20% chance of rain and lows in the mid-60s. And on Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny. Expect highs around 82 degrees. It's currently sitting at 86 degrees in Ashland, as well as in Flemingsburg and Inez. It's 88 right now in Lexington, 92 in Winchester, and 87 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
That's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Ellen Barnett, Courtney Howe, and Sean Delaney from WUKY, Josh James. From the West Virginia News Connection, Dan Hyman. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Dan Translator, W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.